Hello, everybody.
Good evening.
Welcome to our final PAX Prime podcast of 2015.
Ooh.
This is day three. The show's not entirely over yet, but Chris and Chris are getting ready to hop on a plane.
We're done.
Yeah.
They're about to head back. Ed and I will be there tomorrow, but I don't know how much we're going to play. We'll see. But we played a lot of stuff today. Today was a good day, I think.
We did.
So let's just do this.
We started with Rainbow Six Siege.
So we went to the Ubisoft booth this morning with the intent of trying For Honor, and instead played everything
but For Honor at the Ubisoft
booth.
Of the four games they were showing, we played the three that weren't For Honor.
Yeah. So courtesy of Ubisoft, Scott, an elusive animal over at Ubisoft, we were able to...
We labeled him the fabled... Unicorn?
Yeah, a lot of let me find Scott. I gotta find Scott, and then Scott would drop in, and he'd be like, "Oh yeah, over here. I'll show you. I'll click Jane." Like, okay, cool. And then we turn around, and Scott is just fucking gone.
He's a busy man.
Busy man. But thank you, Scott, for showing us around. We got to play Rainbow Six Siege, The Division, and Assassin's Creed Syndicate. So let's start with Rainbow Six Siege.
Let's just do it in order that we played.
Yeah,
sure.
Rainbow Six Siege.
First thing in the morning, we were playing Tarot Hunt.
Tarot Hunt, which is like a rendition of Terrorist Hunt.
It's Tarot Hunt.
Classic Rainbow Six mode. Obviously, it's all multiplayer focused, but we were playing, was it five or six of us?
Five of us.
Five of us. Against... AI-controlled terrorists trying to accomplish the objective of defusing several bombs in this map and defend them while they're being defused.
I'm sorry. It's just we were defending a consulate from being blown up, and most of what we were doing was blowing up the consulate.
No, we were Oh, yeah.
Yeah, okay, I mean, it's just like, we're defending this building! Breach and charge! Boom! Like, just blowing down the walls. And right.
You know?
So we left the basic foundation intact, definitely.
Yeah. Oh man, you know it's funny you say that because had that been like a single player mission, the context of the mission probably would have been totally different. It probably would have made more sense. But in the context of just doing a multiplayer map, where it's like let's create a map and just make up these objectives and just go
just fuck shit up.
But the point of a multiplayer match is to just fuck shit up and accomplish the objectives without really caring about the consequences.
Yep.
Which is kind of funny. But with that said, it was a lot of fun.
It was cool.
It builds on the it really heavily relies on communication, which I like a lot. And I always loved Terrorist Hunt and Rainbow Six Vegas because you were cooperatively working with other people against some pretty good AI taking down terrorists. And I always loved those moments where you're tactically maneuvering around a map and taking out
terrorists. I would say, at least for the purposes of this demo, I don't know if this is indicative of where they are design-wise or if they just toned down the difficulty for the demo, but the AI in this demo were exceptionally dumb.
Yeah.
Exceptionally
they could be pretty dumb.
There was a lot of times where I'd come into a room and there'd just be a terrorist like staring at a wall, crouched down, and I'd just like shoot him in the back of the head.
That's true. That does not bode particularly well because the game is supposed to come out this year.
I have to imagine that they made it pretty easy because I didn't want anyone to get frustrated with it.
Might be just like difficulty settings for the AI in a game.
Because that mode is actually really fun. And it is really cool. And if you have a team together like we did and you're all working together and we all have different specialties, it's really fun, but that is entirely dependent on how smart the AI is.
Right. The thing is, there are moments where it's like, okay, that was pretty smart. We're like, we had our guns aimed at like a doorway, and all of a sudden they would come rappelling down the side of the building and bursting in through the windows behind us.
That was one of the kind of cool things because it's not just rappelling. They have the ability to breach walls. They have the ability to use riot shields and things like that.
Pretty much do everything.
It's very
you can
similar
do.
To what what the player can do.
So what I was curious about is that only you versus AI, or could like other players play as a terrorist?
Well, that specific mode is only you versus AI. Okay. There is a like death match.
Yeah, yeah. I knew there was a death match, but I wasn't sure.
Terrorist Hunt has always been like a co-op.
Okay.
And it's honestly been my favorite mode in Rainbow Six. It's probably the reason why I loved Rainbow Six Vegas was because I just love the terrorist hunt mode. It allowed for some really fun cooperative play, especially if you're effectively communicating with your teammates.
The beta comes out in a month.
Yes.
Yeah. So
pretty soon.
Maybe we'll see the AI cranked up a little bit. Exactly. That'll be the...
I don't have a lot of experience with Rainbow Six. I played some of Vegas, the first one. One thing I really liked about this one is they seem to have... I don't remember there being quite as much breaching in the previous games. I remember that being a thing, but in this one, it looked like pretty much any conjoining wall between a room, you could blow it out.
Which
was really... I mean, to the point where we were blowing out walls into stairwells
and shooting down
on people while they were coming up the stairs. Yeah. Which was
Speaking
really
of that, that was one of the moments where I thought the AI was pretty bad, is because... I blew out a wall and overlooked a stairwell, and then I just proceeded to gun down like 8 people.
That happened to me one time. I was guarding the window or whatever, and the AI were just coming up, and as they were coming up, it's go 1, 2, 3 dead, 1, 2, 3 dead. You can see the rope as they come up too.
Yeah. But I mean, otherwise it was pretty fun. I don't know if this is a game that I'm going to get super into after launch, only because it seems like the real draw is having like that team and playing.
I mean, honestly, this is.
I just don't know if
it's a very co-op focused game.
It does look very fun, and it is very fun. I hope they improve the AI, but when you get right down to it, it is a multiplayer only game, and those are never really games that I invest money in, it, especially at launch.
Our preference. That's less of like an actual reflection but on the game.
This year, I'm already kind of making an exception for that, because there's no way I'm skipping Star Wars Battlefront.
Yeah.
Maybe this is the year that I start to branch out and do more of that. So
it's a good time.
We will see.
And then, I mean, more multiplayer stuff with the Division.
Can someone clarify something? Does the Division have any single player component to it?
Yes,
It is still online, but you can play alone.
Yeah.
Exactly. Can you play the game when you're not connected to the internet?
You have to be connected to the internet. But
for certain aspects of it, yes, I believe so.
I think it's certain areas of the map.
What he's saying is, can you log into the game at all if you have no internet?
Connection? I honestly don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either. And my inclination, just based on what we saw today and the way it looked like it was built, I feel like maybe not. Like, maybe you do need that always. But we don't know the answer to that, and it really doesn't help.
What I will say is this. I went into this very, not skeptical, but not particularly enthused about the game.
Not knowing, really.
And I will say this. What we played was a bit of a clusterfuck, because it was a fucking...
It was a huge clusterfuck.
It was madness.
Well, the thing of it was, the demo that we played was the same one that they were showing at E3, which you guys had played, which is the Dark Zone, where that's like an open PvP area. So we as a 3-man team are walking around this Dark Zone where there are 2 other 3-man team, and we're all trying to kill certain NPCs to loot, and then get it extracted onto a helicopter. Now, this was the kind of sequence that they were showing in that scripted trailer at E3.
Yeah.
Where it was like a 3-man team, and 2 of them were talking, and they're like, oh, well, let's let this guy join us, and oh, we got the loot, and then, oh, there's other players, should we attack them? I don't know, should we attack them? For the purposes of the demo, because that's all there was to shoot, was other players, that's what was going on.
Yeah.
And I don't, like, so it was just a full-on team deathmatch, 3v3v3, kill everybody, try to extract your goods, but... Everything that I've been hearing about the game, and it seems like everything that they want you to believe about the game, is that it doesn't have to go like that. You don't have to engage the other players.
You absolutely don't.
So there will be AI-controlled characters,
so you know,
right?
That one, and there were when we were playing.
Yeah.
Those first enemies we fought, we got the loot, were AI, and then there were AI walking around the extraction zone.
They
had, like, flamethrowers and stuff.
That faction of AI is called the Rikers. They're just basically escaped convicts from Rikers Island, and they've taken over portions of the city.
So the only way that scenario is ever going to happen, because I understand Crispy's skepticism of that ever being a scenario that would actually happen, is basically asking players to not shoot the first person they see is just completely counterintuitive to what gamers do with
what I'm saying is like in the game, when it's your character and it's your loot on the line, it might make sense to be like, I don't want to engage these people. You know, like I don't want to stir up shit because I don't want to lose this loot that I'm about to get. When it's a PAX demo and, you know, they're saying, oh, that's loot, and in the game you'll be able to use that later on in the game. It's like, well, that doesn't mean anything to me right now.
Yeah.
I want to play the fucking game, and all I really have to do in the game right now is shoot people. So yeah. I'm going to shoot people.
Yeah, this demo honestly isn't very indicative of the overall experience to expect. It's really only just the PvP aspect.
Sure. What I wanted to say at the beginning, though, is that I went into this kind of blind, and I didn't really know what to expect, but I walked out, and despite the fact that it was kind of a clusterfuck, and we didn't perform as well as we would have liked, I was really pleasantly surprised by it. One thing I didn't know with the game, it's got damage numbers.
Oh, yeah.
I love damage numbers.
I mean, it is a tactical online RPG.
Yeah.
Emphasis on RPG. There are skill trees. You can upgrade those skills, and there's leaves to those skills.
Well, it's a shooter.
It is a shooter at the end of the day.
It is an RPG shooter.
It's as much an RPG as Borderlands is.
Right.
But maybe more so.
But there is more of that kind of like RPG elements, like you were saying. Like, we were all playing three very distinct kind of characters with different abilities.
Things off the ground,
right,
too.
And it's not, like, class-based, so there wasn't necessarily, like, a medic or an assault or something like that, but it's all equipment-based. So my character, who happened to have the first aid, kind of acted as the medic. You know, Ed's character, who had the shotgun, acted as our assault, you know?
Yep.
It was all kind of dictated by what we had equipped, which that gives it more...
And they've got really cool, like, they call them skills, but I guess they were, like, secondary,
like,
weapons, grenades,
yeah,
mines, things you could use. Like the one I had was, I forgot, a seeking mine, I think is what it's called.
You had a seeking mine.
I could throw this mine out and it would land on the ground. And if anybody came within a certain proximity of it,
right,
the mine would just roll in their direction. And as soon as it got within a certain range of them, it would explode.
It's kind of like the roller mine from Half-Life 2.
Yeah.
And there was like two different options to everything, too. You could choose to just drop it on the ground in front of you, or you could choose to throw it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So, like, my turret that I had, I could... there was one point where we were fighting all those people and I just kind of threw it down. But later, when the people were behind cover, I just took it out and threw it across the map and it landed right next to them and then killed them. Because they were
which
behind,
is cool.
They were just sitting behind
and
cover.
There's the pulse ability, which sends out a pulse that allows you to see.
It's like radar, essentially. Yeah.
I think this is really cool. Again, I'm concerned that it's going to go the way of Grand Theft Auto Online. And then it's just going to become like, who even...
It's going to devolve into...
Yeah, who even has fun with it anymore because it's just a bunch of jackasses running around killing everyone.
Within the Dark Zone, there's a possibility of that. I can agree with that. However, I like to think of it more of as DayZ in a way, in which all your equipment is precious. You're always kind of resource gathering in a way. Am I correct?
Yeah.
Okay.
But there is a distinct difference between this and DayZ in that in this game... You can respawn.
Yeah, that is
so
a critical difference.
What does it matter? What does it really matter? Like, what do I really have to lose by engaging with someone and getting killed?
Here's this. So clarify for me if I'm wrong, but it seems to me like this game is a story-centric tactical shooter RPG where you are doing missions and whatnot in this. I guess it's open world, semi-open world.
It's an entirety of Manhattan.
And then there are certain areas or scenarios that you where you cross over into this area and it becomes kind of an online PvP area.
Yeah, and the Dark Zone is a singular gigantic place in the middle of New York.
And that's the PvP zone.
Yes.
So and outside of that PvP zone, you'll be fighting AI controlled characters and advancing the story.
Yeah, and teaming up with other players because they can't attack.
If that's the case, I think that's pretty cool. That could be a really nice blend of single player and multiplayer that's seamless and maybe not entirely reliant on having always being connected.
And the idea of maybe having to go into the Dark Zone to get bigger and better loot or whatever.
Well, yeah, and that's,
so you
that's
kinda
why
want,
it exists.
Yeah.
Just
yeah.
to get that like legendary.
And that's exactly. that's cool. Like trying to make that decision if I want to go into the Dark Zone could be cool. It's kind of like the, do I want to go out at night in Dragon's Dogma? Like that kind of like, do I want to cross over into the Dark Zone and take that risk?
I didn't care at all about this game before we played it. Having played the demo, I'm like actually really intrigued now.
Yeah,
I'm really fascinated, and I would like to. I hope that it shapes up the way that I'm thinking it will. On the other hand, I'm still thinking like, okay, singles, multiplayer, semi-open world, RPG shooter. This could go the way of Destiny. And if it's another Destiny.
No, I don't think it's a Destiny.
I hope not.
I hope you're right.
I recommend you take a look at the E3 2014 stuff, just to get an idea of some of the missions that you can do outside of the Dark Zone, mm-hmm. and just how you interact with AI and how you're kind of trying to build New York back up. Like you're taking these buildings.
This takes place in New York after a plague, right?
And you provide, you know, electricity and services to the surrounding area, and you help the civilians.
So this is like New York after a plague or something has happened, right?
Yeah, basically a weaponized virus is released on Black Friday, and it kills off a shit ton of people, and they quarantine all of New York.
Okay. Well, that's cool. It's a cool concept. I'm really excited. I came out exceedingly more excited about it than I was going in, which is cool. By the way, the game looks really good. I just hit a moment. I knocked over a trash can, running. I really liked the cover system. I mean, it's not something that we haven't really seen before, but it was really fluid, being able to tap A to take cover behind a wall, and then hold A and move the camera, and it'll highlight other cover places, yeah. and then mm-hmm. you just let go, and they automatically, you can put the controller down, and he just runs to it and takes cover.
Yeah.
Which I found to be...
Was that how that works?
Yeah, it was really...
I was having a hard time with
it. I had a hard time, fluid. Too, but...
I kept vaulting over shit.
Yeah.
It's very stark. System... Very similar to the system they put into Ghost Recon Future Soldier a couple years ago.
And I think that's also what they did in Splinter Cell Blacklist, or something similar to it.
Yeah, you would hide, you would move the camera, and there would be an icon next to some cover. You just press a button, and Sam Fisher would run to it.
Yeah, so once you let go of that A button, and you've highlighted another cover spot, he'll just make a beeline for it, and it'll automatically take cover.
I think I tried that a few times, and I think I just didn't do it right or whatever.
Once you get it down, it works really, really well. Cool. I thought that was cool. But yeah, I was just really surprised at how good the game looked. Anyways, moving on. Last game we played at Ubisoft, or at least me and Crispy played, was Assassin's Creed Syndicate.
Mm-hmm. It was Assassin's Creed Unity with a grappling hook. I mean, that's what it was.
I mean, sure.
It was fine. Like, it actually, the demo... the demo was better than I thought it was going to be. But nothing about it was really that, striking. Nothing about it was really that new.
Sure.
It was, what I did like is that they kept that new setup from Unity, where you'll do these assassination missions and they'll put you in an area, they'll tell you who your target is, where they are, and then they'll say, create opportunities. You could go over here and do this. You could go over here and do this. And
it's very, they're trying to basically kind of imitate the Hitman.
They're trying to imitate the Hitman formula, yeah, in that they want you to have a multifaceted approach. Now, the thing I don't like about the way they do that in this game is that this system isn't really set up to be that organic. It is still really contextual. It is still really go talk to this NPC, and then that'll open up this objective that you have to complete. It's not like a Hitman Blood Money where you can kind of just go do things and make things happen, you know?
Yeah.
It is very contextual. You can't do anything out of order. You can't, once you start down one path, it's kind of harder to do another path, you know? It just most of Assassin's Creed in general, it's getting away from these kind of open actions and this fluidity of gameplay and going more towards a controlled contextual sort of thing.
Yeah.
Which, I get why they're doing it, and that's fine, and I, I don't begrudge anyone for liking it, but it is kind of bothering me. Yeah.
You know what bothered me about it the most, was that, so they introduced, I can't remember if it worked, I don't think it's worth this way in Unity, but you could, push down the left stick and it would kind of go into eagle vision, but it would now, when you got close enough and you looked at an NPC, it would highlight them in the environment, and when you come out of eagle vision, they remain highlighted. You can see them through walls and things like that. And this mission,
I think it did that in Black Flag.
Yeah. You've had that for a while.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well, maybe it was just this particular mission, but it takes place in
it's Tower of London.
Yeah, it's a Tower of London. It's a palace. There are guards.
Well, a fortress, but yeah.
Everywhere. There was no less than, by the time I had finished scouting the area, there was no less than 50 or 60 fucking red and blue people highlighted on my screen that I could always see. If you looked at my screen from a distance, it would just look like a fucking just a like scatter shot. Yeah, it was crazy. And maybe it won't be so bad on other levels where it's not quite as populated, but Jesus Christ. It's just one of those like things that probably sounds like a really great idea on paper, but introduced into certain scenarios, it just kind of backfires on you because it just clutters up the screen.
Especially when you can't tell like which NPCs are like in your direct line of sight and which ones you're seeing through walls and which ones are like above you and below you. Like, it gets really confusing.
Yeah.
The demo was also kind of buggy, which, you know...
Maybe not quite as bad as Unity, but it was definitely buggy.
No, I ran into a couple... Yeah, I ran into a couple free climbing bugs, which, you know, if it was any other game, I'd say, well, it's a demo, we'll have to wait until the finished product comes out. But this is Assassin's Creed. I mean, this is the kind of stuff that I've seen before.
So when is this game coming out?
October.
Yeah. So, you know, they don't have a lot of time.
No.
I did like the grappling hook. It's cool.
It's funny, the lady didn't tell me what it was. I just kept seeing the L1 thing appear, and I was like, I don't want to push L1 until I know what I'm doing.
It's a little different.
And she was like, oh, it's a grappling hook. And I was like, well, shit! I was like, I couldn't figure out how to get across the room. I was like, how am I supposed to get at that guy? There's like 30 guards in between me and that building. And I was like, what's the L1 doing? She's like, grappling hook. And I was like, well, fuck! And I just tapped L1 and boom, across the building.
It's pretty nice. It's like kind of a quality of life upgrade, you know, just because sometimes that free climbing, especially on sneaking missions, gets to be a pain in the dick.
Yeah.
Especially if you're climbing up a wall and the guard spots you and you're trying to like get out of his line of sight quickly and you just start panicking and your character just starts jumping wherever they want, you know, it sucks. But the grappling hook I thought was going to be pretty much a direct ripoff of Batman, and it wasn't quite that. Like, if you're going vertical, if you're going up, it is exactly that. It's just fire the grappling hook, like, takes you up the wall. If you're going across, like a gap or something like that, or you're going, like, not necessarily straight up, but, like, kind of at an angle, what she does is she fires it as, like, a tightrope, and then she kind of, like, shimmies across.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So that was
which
nice.
Works.
And like, in Dying Light or whatever, when you put your thing on top and you just slide down. Zipline, yeah?
Can
you
zip line? I don't think you can zipline.
She doesn't really zipline. What she does is she'll reach out and pull, and she'll slide a little way, she'll reach out and pull again. Right. So it's kind of a zipline. It's not really. She's just kind of like really fluidly like kind of sliding down the rope. Okay. But it does take a while, and I did have some problems where like some of the guards were seeing me while I was like ziplining across this area, and there's nothing I can really do about it at that point, you know.
Like drop a bomb, boy.
Two things I want to bring up. One, I don't know why, but she turns invisible when she stands still.
That's specific to Eevee, because she's more like...
She's a predator? Like, what?
Well, I mean, the whole idea is that she's more stealth, and Jacob is more, like, combat.
But is that just supposed to be, like, a visual marker showing you that you are not visible?
It's another one of those narrative devices where you're taking...
Animus cheats, basically.
Yeah, you're taking advantage of the fact that the game takes place in an animus to kind of, like... to kind of video game it up a little bit.
But everything before, like, every time they've tried to do that in the past, it's still been kind of, like, it's still kind of made sense. Because this is implying that you're still reliving this memory of this person, and it's kind of like, well, I know in real life, in that scenario, she didn't turn invisible. Like, it's not even like, the thing is, at first I thought it was like a visual marker to the player that, yes, you were no longer visible to the guards, but it was happening, I was standing in broad daylight in the middle of a room, and it was like, I'm just invisible.
I mean, she's got that, like, active cloak. She stops moving, she goes invisible. You're right, it's weird, but that, again, like, I think that's maybe a more flagrant example of that sort of weird blending between the story and its storytelling devices.
Yeah.
Than we've previously seen, but I don't think that is necessarily super egregious for some of the other shit we've seen from Assassin's Creed.
Sure.
What bothered me more than that was the fact that now she has, like, fucking electro bombs and shit. Like, she can throw a bomb that explodes into, like a burst of lightning and, like, stuns a bunch of people. Like, what is that?
Well, they tie that into one of the characters that you, the scientist, whatever.
Of course they do.
Of course. One thing I'll say is I did actually enjoy playing as Eevee. It was cool playing as a female assassin. And I got to a point where I jumped. I was on a roof or on like a guard tower, and I jumped down onto the roof without realizing there was a guard walking directly underneath it, and I literally landed like right in front of him, and I went into this like holy shit, because he's like started to like be alerted, and I just basically just tapped the button to go into melee combat, and I literally just wailed on this guy for like 30 seconds. Yeah. She has like a stick, like a billy club or whatever, and she's just like boom, 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 just like knocking him senseless.
That was that cane that they
yeah, did. Just literally beating the shit out, and it looked awesome.
That's cool.
But it was just like, I was like, God, it's going on for like 30 seconds. Come on, he's probably dead by now.
I mean, that is one of the better things I like of the Assassin's Creed series is that the combat itself and the actual motions of the characters, they're fucking vicious, man.
Yeah, it's like fucking. It did feel really nice.
The coolest stuff that I saw in the demo was all super contextual, was pre-animated. Basically, like at the end when you go to assassinate your target, it's not like pull a trigger to do the assassination. Mm-hmm. It's basically like a QTE because it's like at any time you can hit square. And then she goes into this whole animation where like the lady that she's trying to kill turns around and swings a club at her and she dodges it and twists around and stabs a knife through her neck. And it just feels like you're playing a Telltale game at that point, you know?
I mean, the one thing I do like that they've done since Unity is like kind of refocus on the approach toward the assassination.
Yeah, that's... Yeah. Well, they tried to do that with Unity, and that was one of the things that stuck out to me about Unity, which is why I was so disappointed that it was so fucking janky, is that, yes, the approach to the assassinations was actually way improved to everything that came before it. Yeah. It was actually kind of feeling, you know, kind of Hitman-y, where I was making decisions. Like, in this demo we played today, I could have done one of several options. I opted to basically steal a key off of a guard, climb up to the roof and unlock a door on the roof and go in a spiral staircase directly down into the room where my target was. But there were windows I could have gone through, guards I could have disguised myself as, things like that.
What I did at E3 was I found this, like, he's like a guard you could bribe.
Yeah.
And he would march you in, like...
That's what I did.
If you were arrested.
Because... I guess basically what was going on was a bunch of these royal guards had been replaced by Templars, and he's one of your allies, and he's like, well, I can take you up to see her, but these guards over here have seen my face. We're going to need to kill them first. So I had to go around the yard and kill these two guys. And then I go back to him, and he says, okay, well, I'll put you in chains, and we'll take you up to your target, like to her face, and you can just attack her there. So then they put, like, they have this... They put you in this mode where you're chained up and you're controlling Evie and the guard and you're walking around and you can't get too close to anybody. There's like a circle. The quicker you move, the wider it gets. And you can't get that circle touching any Templar because then they will like recognize you or recognize him or something like that. And they'll know that you're... Yeah. So you basically have to like do a really slow walk through the palace to get up to your target.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, overall, it's Assassin's Creed.
Yeah.
Like, it is not...
Assassin's Creed as fuck.
Different. Yeah. Then,
did you guys ever get into, like, a big combat situation with, like, a ton of enemies? And
how... No, I was trying to avoid that. I got into
one with, like, three or four.
Uh-huh.
And that was, like, completely an accident, but...
How did that feel, like, in comparison to the older games?
Dude, I got...
Weird because I would, like... There would be a couple guys where it was, like, Nick, where, like, I just had to keep fucking hitting them and hitting them and hitting them. Mm. And then there was a couple guys where, like, I'd be attacking them, and they'd kind of back up a little bit, and that would kind of take them out of their full attack mode. So when I went back and hit, like, my attack button again, she just did, like, an instant, like, assassination kill. Like, okay. So it was weird, because I didn't really, like, I didn't know when I was in combat, when I was like in sneak mode, or
It may not be an entirely smooth experience. Yeah, I don't know.
But that's Assassin's Creed.
Later. But that's Assassin's Creed. I don't know. I'm still not going to pick it up day one just because you know, fucking Unity. But I'm hoping. I'm hoping it's a better game than the last one. We'll see. We'll see what happens. I don't know. Let's move on to something else. That was Ubisoft. We played all of those things. What else did we play today? Who's next? Ed, you just appeared for like 6 hours.
So I went over to play a game called Tenertia.
Tenertia.
And it is coming out Thursday.
Oh. On
Steam. So this is a cool little platformer where there is no jump button, but you use rocket jumps to jump around and stuff.
Yeah.
And so you shoot down in order to propel yourself up. You can wall jump. There's also a little like air dash kind of thing you can do. And I was playing through the first level, and it was getting really good. And you can rocket in any direction. So if you're trying to fall faster, you can shoot up and you fall faster or whatever. But it was very much like they had like 8 different worlds or something like that, and the world was split into different levels. But you can kind of, the whole entire time, you're just going up and up and up.
Yeah.
And but all the levels are connected. So you reach the end of the level and the camera turns a right angle. And then you can see the rest of the level that you just finished behind you as you're going back up. And you can start, if you look in the corners, you can start to see the rest of the level. It was cool because at the end there was a boss battle and I was having some real trouble with it. And the guy was like, just fire a rocket at the boss. And I fired a rocket at the boss, and that like hurt his. He was like, it was like a chase sequence kind of thing, and he's like, fire a rocket at the boss, and fired a rocket at the boss. I didn't even think about that. He didn't tell me to do that or anything like that.
It's kind of a cool looking game.
Yeah, it is. It is really cool looking. And it got really, really hard once I got to the second world. But the way he explained it to me was like, that is pretty much the mechanics. You can rocket jump, you can wall jump, and that extra dash is the rest of the mechanics. The rest of the things are kind of like environmentally based. So like once you got to the second world, you had these beams of blue light that when you would hit them, they'd turn red and they would kill you if you stayed within it. Yeah. So there's like, for example, there's this one part where the floor, just above the floor, is a beam of blue light. So you have to constantly press down on the thumbstick, the right thumbstick, in order to keep yourself afloat.
Huh.
And he's basically said, he's like, there's no like limit to the amount of rockets that you can do or how fast. It's just how fast you can click down the thing.
Does the robot have a lazy eye?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's a cute little thing. And he said that in the, what was also cool was there's like a time goal or whatever and a rocket goal for each of the levels.
Uh-huh.
And as you complete,
the rocket goal is in the most rockets,
or least amount of least rockets that you can do to get through the level.
Wait,
yeah,
give me all the rockets. Yeah, I'll show you.
He said it was like 16 par, and he said it's like golf. Try to get underneath the par.
Oh yeah.
But he said that basically that there'll be some sort of like leaderboard kind of thing, but also it'll unlock different skins and stuff.
Where is this game? I didn't see it anywhere. Is it in the Mega Booth?
It is right behind the World of Warships and the Sony booth over by that wall back there.
Oh, so it's cursed.
Or like back. Star Wars Alliance.
It's back in the in the part of PAX that the world has forgotten.
The dark place.
It was really cool. And,
no, that's cool. It looks awesome. I actually might want to go play this.
And
although I can already tell this is going to be one of those games kind of like Velocity where I really got into that game. But man, that game gets hard.
It got really hard once I got to the second level.
Yeah.
It's very much very precision-y. Like if you don't put the rocket in the right place, especially when you're wall jumping, if you do it just right, you can shoot up in the air really fast when you're wall jumping. But if you do it wrong, then you kind of shoot off to the side or whatever. And so you have to. It's very precision-y about where you place, where you flip the right thumbstick in order to propel yourself. But it was cool.
I got a quick game that reminds me of. This is actually the last game that I played of the day, and Emily spotted this on the show floor. In the indie mega or mini booth,
Kingsbird.
Kingsbird.
I played that right after Tenertia.
Did you play that yesterday or today?
Today,
dude. Yeah.
That game was awesome.
Game is cool.
Yeah,
the art style reminds me of Outland. Did you ever play that game? It's like it was an Xbox 360 like arcade game, but it was like super vibrant, like blue and green colors, and you were switching back and forth between red and blue.
It was characters. Like the foreground was kind of like everything in the foreground was black.
Yeah,
and then
everything in the background,
Had a color to it.
Yeah,
and it would change colors based as you proceeded through the level and stuff. And it looked really.
But you
really
play cool. This little character, and all you do is you run and you build momentum as you're running through this world. And you can tap A to jump, and as you hit walls, you can flick the stick in a certain direction, and she'll dash up in that direction. So if you dash up when you hit the wall, she'll splint up, and you can dash and then you jump across. But as you're going, you're moving faster and faster.
And you can even do it on ceilings too. So like there's this one portion where the ceiling is slanted, and so you jump up and you dash in the direction that you want to go, and you actually jump off of the ceiling.
Yeah.
To go fast.
And you'll kind of, there's times where you'll ride along a wall or down a certain path, which is cool. But you eventually get the ability to turn this into a bird. And then while you're, you can come out into like an open space, you hold down the right, or you tap the right bumper, or hold the right bumper, I mean, and she'll turn into a bird, and you'll fly, and you can kind of just steer the character through these like intricate, like,
paths. And it's very momentum based, right? So like, at one point you get the ability, once you get the ability to fly, you just hold down the right bumper at one point, and she's just running down this mountain, building up momentum, and then she shoots off. And then you can kind of control her, and it's very floaty the way you
move. And it's all very smooth. But the coolest part was like, you come to a room, and it spikes all around the outside, and there's a wall kind of in the middle between you and the other side.
Right.
So, but it's all outlined with spikes, so you can jump, and then you turn into the bird, and you fly straight down, and you pull up at the last second, and you go whoosh, and you fly up the other side.
Yeah, yeah.
And you just keep going down this like tunnel, which is really cool. I mean, eventually you come out the other side, and the demo ended with you flying into the sky, and then it just,
so it's like, it feels kind of, this is a weird comparison, but in Mario 64, when you have to like dive down in order to shoot up or whatever, yeah. It's very much like that, where you have to build up speed in order to get higher.
It's got a really cool art style. It feels really good, and the controls are super simple. But the platforming is challenging.
Yeah.
And it looks like it's going to be. And he said there's going to be like time trials, and there's going to be this, I asked him about the story. They said they're trying to. Basically, it's going to end up being a story about this girl who's living in this world or country or whatever. And there's all these rules that are imposed that are, you know, kind of under. She's living under a tyrant, essentially. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And the story is about her trying to break down these rules that were imposed by this tyrant. But it's ultimately going to end up actually being a story about her discovering that those rules were actually in place for a reason. So it's, you know...
Yay, authority!
Yeah. Maybe it's going to be yay, authority, I don't know. But it's obviously they're trying to go for some kind of deeper meaning to the game, which sounds cool. But it was really, really fun.
Yeah.
I think it was just telling the developer made a really good demo.
Yeah.
It took like 3 minutes to complete. But showcase the game
beautifully,
exceptionally. I think that's a testament to his skill.
Yeah, and he was giving away posters, and he said that
he
hand drew the posters, so great. And like the design for the posters, like 2 nights before PAX started, and he did it in like 2 hours, and they look awesome.
They look incredible. I have one somewhere around here, but yeah.
But anyways, that's called The King's Bird, and he said it's probably more than a year away. I think. And he said they're even going to be making some changes to the art style and a little bit of the design, too. He didn't want it to feel like just a clone of another, you know, challenging platformer. Right. So he said they're going to be making some changes to the design and the even the visual style of the game. So hopefully it doesn't change too much, because I really liked the art style in the game. But anyways.
Real quick, we'll play Drawn to Death today.
Yeah.
That game is awesome.
Yeah, right.
I told you. I got a different hand move, Chris. I did use the gun one, but I also used one where holds him up in the air and he throws him down onto the map.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and it's like a slam move or whatever.
You like grab other players?
No, you were in the hand and he throws you down the map and it does damage as you land.
That is cool. That's cool.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
But you get the ability to choose a bunch of different weapons and stuff like that, and when you kill other people, you can pick up their weapons that they drop.
Yeah.
So you can kind of use the stuff against them, and there's a lot of verticality to it. So like as you start, you're looking at the map from above when you spawn, so you can spawn on top of roofs.
Yeah.
And then kind of shoot down. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, it looks cool. Maybe I'll go back and play. I only played it once or twice at E3, and I did like what I played, but. I didn't have a headset. Are they letting you use a headset?
Yeah, so I did use a headset, and they're very much the kind of rock music going on all the time.
It is
really cool. Don't go there when they're doing a Playroom live stream thing, because these two girls were talking in British accents that weren't British, and they were very loud, and it was very annoying, and I could barely hear the music. But
noted,
the music was awesome.
Cool.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, maybe I'll go play that tomorrow, because y'all seem to enjoy that. What else? Me, Crispy, and Emily wandered around the Sony booth for a little bit. We found Abzu, which apparently is the next game from that game company.
Yeah.
Oh, really? I didn't even know they had it. I've seen that game before. I saw it at E3, but I never knew it was that game company, so I didn't pay a whole lot of attention.
It was cool.
It's you're basically swimming through you look like a character that looks like a scuba diver, kind of, mm-hmm. But you're swimming through the water. It's all underwater. You're swimming through the ocean. You're looking at fish and collecting these like little robots that are kind of wandering around, and then you can use the robots to, like... Emily played it. I didn't see the end of it.
It's super open. They don't really give you an objective. You're just swimming around these areas, and you can basically swim, you can flip, and you can use radar. And that's pretty much it. And so you use your radar to activate these little robots, which then follow you around, and they have the ability to open up new areas for you by... I guess they like
looking at them.
Like
they do a thing.
Yeah, they. I don't know. They do a thing, and they open up new areas, and so you can like swim in schools of fish, and you can like ride on turtles and bigger fish.
And it looked like you swim a lot faster when you
are in a school of fish. Yeah, but which is cool. The controls are really floaty, but it feels good. Like they should be, because you're underwater and you're swimming.
I thought the swimming felt really cool, and it looked really
literally floaty.
Yeah, and it looked very elegant too, like the way you could swim.
It looked like a really like zen kind of game.
Yeah. And unfortunately,
which is pretty typical of that game company.
Yeah. Unfortunately, nobody who was working on the game was there to kind of talk about it or elaborate. But from what two different people told me is that. It will be very open-ended, but as you progress through the game, as you unlock areas, you'll uncover artifacts and find out more about the world, and, like, you can get new suits. So I guess the suit that you're wearing allows you to swim through certain areas, certain depths, and endure certain temperatures. And I saw an area where it looks like you hit a floor, but it's actually ice. And so you don't have the ability to swim through that because it's too cold and you start to freeze. So I guess at some point you get a new suit that will let you go into colder areas. I'm sure there will be hotter areas.
I saw a great white shark.
Yeah, it was really...
Did it attack you?
No, it swam away.
No, but there was... I mean, you guys had left at that point, but there was a shark that attacked one of my little robots. And it got it. It was terrible. No, I'm just kidding. But,
really?
No, it was terrible. It was.
Wait, so that did happen?
Yeah. Okay. It was like a little,
I thought you were making that up.
Before. No, it was like a little cutscene, but it was really interesting because as you progress through these areas, it changes. And I came upon like a small cavern that you swim through. And I think it was trying to showcase the fact that there was some sort of civilization at one point, because there were all of these like... mechanical looking objects half buried in the sand, and I couldn't interact with anything.
Now it's starting to sound like a little bit like that game company game. Mm-hmm. It's going to start. Because all of their games have been very much like desolate, like zen, and then all of a sudden as you get through it, you start to see remnants of civilization and things like that.
And I couldn't interact with anything, but I'm guessing that as you progress through the game, you will be able to interact with those kind of decrepit areas and...
Yeah.
It was really cool. I'm excited to see what happens with it. And just like swimming through all that really long seaweed was just super satisfying. I don't know why.
It's a cool game.
It was like Mermaid Simulator.
It was a little bit. I'm honestly, I thought it looked really cool and it felt
pretty.
It looked cool and it felt cool. Mm-hmm. But the fact that it's that game company automatically makes me interested. Yeah, I loved Flower. I loved Journey.
I didn't even realize they were the Journey people. So. That's awesome.
Could be cool.
I think it will be.
Chris Davis?
Yes.
You played a game?
I played a video game.
And it was called?
I played it yesterday, I played it today. It was Homefront The Revolution.
Okay, so how was that?
Let's talk about this.
As I like to call it, Urban Far Cry The Revolution.
Okay, so I saw a headline today. I forgot who did it. It was either Kotaku or Destructo or someone that basically said, Homefront Revolution is like Far Cry, and that's awesome. So, is this going to be Far Cry, or should I be interested in this?
It is very Far Cry-ish.
What aspect of this is Far Cry?
Oh, Emily opened something. We have no idea what it is.
It's a slap bracelet.
It's a slap bracelet.
It's a slap bracelet you get for spending a certain amount of money at the
I wish it was a bag of sun chips.
Like a bag of sun chips.
Those are so loud.
So, you know.
So Homefront.
So Homefront the Revolution, it is very much a Far Cry 3.5 clone. Really? It's not Far Cry 4.
I didn't get that feeling out of it.
It's okay. So the basic idea is that it's not related to the previous Homefront game. It's not a sequel. It's not a prequel. It's just another story set in this universe.
So it's a reboot.
It's not a reboot.
Is it still the Koreans?
Yes.
Okay. The PR lady was like, racist. It is not a sequel.
They are very serious.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
They don't want to mix it up with the THQ game at all.
Is this even the same game that we saw at E3 2 years ago?
Or
was that last year? I can't
there
remember.
Are some elements of that in there, but overall, it's really changed to be more Far Cry-ish.
Mm-hmm. So it's open world now.
Yeah, it's segmented open world.
There are monkeys.
Mission-based open world.
Are there monkeys?
I didn't
tigers?
Monkeys. No.
Exotic birds?
It's in a city.
Turtles?
Calm down.
No, it's actually kind of interesting. So it's a segmented open world Philadelphia. That's been mm-hmm. overrun and
by monkeys. Turtles.
That's a very racist thing to say.
Has it been overrun by Will Smith clones?
No.
In West Philadelphia?
Born and raised?
Don't do this.
Are you on segment and playgrounds spending most of your days?
Oh my god.
This is happening.
All right, it's been overrun by the Koreans. Okay. I'm sorry. My comment about monkeys was not at all meant to be racist. It was supposed to be another allusion to Far Cry. I apologize. I had a Brad moment. My bad.
Yeah. Brad moment.
So anyway, you're a resistance fighter in the city. The map is divided into these subsections, and there are three types of sections. There's the green zone. It's like kind of based on what the U.S. military did in Iraq. There were the various different zones. You got the green zone, which are pristine, untouched by war zones, in which you can actively hide from the Koreans. And
it's like fully occupied there, right?
But it's fully occupied, so it's extremely dangerous to engage. There's the yellow zone, which is kind of like the mid-tier.
Where the rebel group is or whatever.
It's like the ghettos of Philadelphia. You can go through and kind of stealth the area without having to fight them.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's the red zones, which those are bombed out, kind of ruined areas of the city.
And as soon as the enemies see you, they will start attacking.
It's shoot on sight for them.
Okay, so when you compare it to Far Cry, you're comparing it to like the sequences where you're trying to take out camps.
Kinda.
Actually, yeah. I mean, there was camps that you were supposed to take out there.
So the way the demo was structured, the first part of it was semi-scripted. They said it was a cheat because the game is going to be entirely in first person for all the cinematics, kind of like Half-Life.
Yeah.
But for the demo, they had like it was kind of a scripted cinema.
And you couldn't move during the demo, but they said during all the cutscenes you'll be able to move around and walk around. And very much Half-Life.
So it started out there was a Korean patrol you had to take out.
Mm-hmm.
And so you could go on either side of the buildings, actually.
Yeah.
But you were going to ambush the patrol as it was going to come through. And you get on top of this rooftop, and they set up these... The resistance has set up this a series of traps around the city,
mm-hmm.
and one of them is like, and what was there was a barrel bomb attack,
mm-hmm.
in which you flip a switch and it drops a bunch of gasoline containers and lights them on fire as they're going down, mm-hmm. and it hits the truck and explodes.
So fireworks. So I did test this out. If you trigger the bomb too early, mm-hmm. it's not a fail condition.
Okay.
So you trigger the bomb early, they go down, they blow up,
it's just a fucked up moment.
It basically but you still have to
accomplish the
objective, which is destroy the thing or whatever.
They're trying to keep it kinda unscripted.
Yeah.
In which you fuck up, you can still continue on.
Yeah.
So that was the only primary objective you had of the demo. From there on, you could kind of go do what you wanted to do. You could go help the resistance do random encounters in fighting the Koreans.
And they come on your radio and say, like, this person needs help over here.
Yeah,
they kind of show up in your map.
They give you, like,
bit.
Mini missions to go take care of.
It's cool.
Sub-objectives. But what the... What?
Keep going.
Well, what I did, and what I think a lot of people did, was they went towards this objective in the far distance, which was called a strike zone.
Mm-hmm.
The idea is that you want to liberate the strike zone by taking out the Koreans over there and hacking their network.
Mm-hmm.
And that unlocks that area. And by unlocking and taking it over, it reduces the population of the Korean patrols that are in the area.
Yeah.
And increases, gives you additional resources and tools that you can use.
Yeah. Gotcha. Okay. Well, that sounds cool.
One thing I did want to mention is that they are the Far Cry aspect that I really think is permeating this.
Tigers.
Is a crafting system.
Now, this is cool.
So,
but there's what do you craft with? There's no tigers.
No, you're crafting with things you can find in the environment. So you'll find lockers. You're really scavenging in the environment because mm-hmm. you're not going to find a whole lot of drops of ammunition and equipment and stuff.
And okay.
So you have to build a lot of what you do.
That's
so
cool.
So you'll go up to a locker. You'll find like chemicals and things like that. And you'll maybe find like some bandages and you can build a med kit. Or alternatively, you could build like Molotov cocktails mm-hmm. or explosives and stuff like that.
Okay, that's cool.
But that corresponds, that you would think that would just be like the secondary stuff, you know?
Yeah.
But that actually ties into the actual weapon crafting in the game.
Yeah, yeah.
So there's semi-crisis-ish weapon
modifications.
You can, mm-hmm. you can put scopes on, you can put, you know, sights and things like that. Well, in this you can actually do entire total conversions of your weapon.
Yeah.
So one of the things I did, and I demonstrated when I recorded some footage, you could convert your shotgun into this...
A grenade launcher.
It's a Molotov...
Yeah, that's what I did, too.
Oh.
And I did it, like, on the fly, too. So, like, I was fighting a couple enemies, and they were too far away for my shotgun to hit them. So I kind of dove around the corner, swapped out my gun real quick, came back around, and shot the Molotov.
You know what? This is kind of off topic, but I've always wanted a game that, like, lets you improvise in the environment and create weapons, like, cool, like, weapons out of just whatever you can find in the environment. And there's probably been games that imitate it, but it's very much, and I know I'm going to get some eye rolls, but, like, things that you would see in, like, the Jason Bourne films, where he, like, finds something in the environment and, uh-huh. and like,
turns
a, and like, yeah. like in the most recent one where he finds the fire extinguisher and puts a nail on the end of it and then hits it and shoots the nail like a fake gun. Like, I want to do shit like that in a video game.
Oh, that'd
I
be
love
kinda
that
cool.
stuff.
Yeah, I don't think it gets that.
No, I know, awesome, I know, but I want to do shit like that.
But, yeah, no, it was definitely cool being able to just change your gun into basically an entirely different gun.
Because yeah.
you could change the scope, the body... What else?
The barrel of it.
The barrel of it.
The
yeah.
actual the length of it itself. I mean, you can
right.
you can turn it a completely different weapon. You can turn, for example, they had an assault rifle, standard AR-15 or whatever, and you could convert that into a fully focused grenade launcher.
That's cool.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. No, the weapon crafting system was cool. What I didn't like was that. Did you get to use the bike?
This is something they were proud to mention, was that they have vehicles in there, and they have this motorcycle that you could ride on, a dirt bike. And they've modeled how the bike will kind of traverse the area after trials.
Oh, I knew you were going to say trials. Holy shit.
So the idea is that you're not just going on the streets and maybe on the rough terrain. You're actually going up ramps into buildings, in and out of, and, you know, just various
up loops.
Like
you're doing loops inside. Just doing flippies in the air.
The traversal...
It's very kind of loose in how it controls.
Yeah.
Loosey-goosey?
The traversal was cool, but actually controlling it and trying to, like, drive through the streets, it just... Like you said, it feels very loose, and I had trouble getting under control, especially in, like, tight spaces, trying to, like, turn around, and I found myself crashing a lot.
Yeah.
And
I would either crash or I would flip the bike somehow.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. Yeah. And also, I tried to get up some stairs a couple times, and it just wouldn't let me.
Yeah, you kind of just had to look for the ramps. You kind of have to learn the map in order to know exactly how to use the bikes.
But the problem with trying to learn the map is you could turn the corner, and there could be a Korean patrol there.
Yeah, that was one of my primary complaints of the demo. So this is the red zone that it's going to be occupied by a bunch of soldiers, and they're going to shoot you on sight. Understandable. But there's a ton of patrols out there.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they are randomized in their spawning and their pattern, as well as the rebels actually interacting with them.
Yeah.
But I, for example, yesterday when I was first trying out the game and learning how to use the bike, I died like 7 or 8 times from just not realizing I could use ramps, and I was just driving along the streets and I was constantly finding patrols.
Right. Yeah.
And it was a real kind of pain in the butt. But in the case of the patrols and the way that the enemy AI works, is it's kind of cool. It escalates.
Yeah.
So the idea is that you are not a superhero. You do not have regenerating health. You just have your med kits and basic. It's kind of like Far Cry 2.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. You got the morphine and you're trying to heal yourself.
Yeah.
But you're not going to do all that much. Well,
pulling bullets out of your arm.
Yeah. Well, they not that violent, but you know you're
just kind of inject yourself. Yeah.
Anyway, but the AI escalates in its response to you the more you fight.
Yeah.
So you'll ambush patrol, for example. You'll kill a couple guards. Suddenly, you'll see a seeker drone. It's kind of like the cam drones from...
not cam drone.
The camera drones from Half-Life 2.
Yeah. What cam drone?
The cam drone flies in.
You know, they come in, they take your picture.
Yeah.
And they didn't do that much in Half-Life 2. But in this, they will actually alert the Koreans, and they'll come running.
And they'll be like, "He's right here! He's right here!"
But there's also like an airship that comes and has a big spotlight, and will
you'll see in the environment. There's these huge airships that are just have a spotlight, and they're scanning the area. And if you get caught by that, it will fucking chase you, and it will alert all the enemies that are around you.
Yeah, and I got chased by it while I was on the bike. And so I was trying really hard to, like, go up ramps and
yeah, like, go into a building, hang out for a while, and then try to sneak out when it starts scanning around
right,
the building.
Right, yeah, and that's how I ended up getting away.
It's definitely designed to make you not feel like a superhero, and for you to... It encourages you to actually run away.
Cool. Well... It sounds interesting. We have to wrap up here in a second. Last question I have about it is, does the world look like it's going to be fun to explore, interesting?
It looked all right. It looked kind of generic.
Very gray.
What I'm worried about.
It was a red zone.
But it was a red zone, exactly. It was
a bombed out, flamed out, burned out area that was just a bunch of buildings that were rubble.
I think for me, the turning point is going to be whether or not they start to show off environments that look like more lush and interesting and vibrant.
They've also got the yellow and green zones.
But we haven't seen those yet.
So I'm hoping that maybe you can turn a red zone into a yellow zone as you start to liberate it.
I think that is the case.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know how they're doing the segmented level system.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So I don't know how to address
that. We'll have to wait and see.
But I do know is that this December they're going to be releasing a co-op beta.
Okay.
So you can actually play the game multiplayer.
This is a 2016 game, right?
They're thinking like first half 2016, I think.
Okay. So here's the thing. Y'all got to get on an airplane here pretty soon, and we need to wrap up. So let's cover anything real quick that we want to finish up with.
I played this game called Torkoal. And it is...
Torkoal?
Yeah. It is, you're in a box, and you have... There's in each of the four directions is keyed to the four face buttons,
mm-hmm.
but you're also rotating the box around, and you basically, when you press a face button, it shoots out a pillar, and you're able to, like, so let's say you're about to fall into lava, you can press all the face buttons, and all four pillars shoot out, and you just basically stop wherever you are, and then you slowly retract one, and use the left stick to kind of rotate yourself over, so you kind of, let's say you're trying to get over this pit. Well, you shoot out a pillar and it drops into the pit, and you use that as a fulcrum to get over to the other side.
Interesting.
It was cool.
It's a puzzle platformer?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Torkoal.
Yeah.
Torkoal.
That's not a pleasant name to say.
It's not.
It sounds like a bodily function.
It's supposed to be after Torque, but...
Torkoal.
It's apparently out now, so apparently you can buy it.
Look for Torkoal.
Yeah. I also played Triforce Heroes.
How was that?
Really?
Yeah. It was pretty cool. We played the forest level, and so there wasn't a lot to the forest level, but we all had bows, and we could all, like, jump on top of each other, and there was different levels. And once you got to the boss was like, you could attack him from the lower level, and then you had to grab someone, and he had to attack from the center level, and so on, or whatever.
So you had to, like, have a totem of characters.
Yeah, so you did have to have did use the totem thing quite a bit. But one of the cool things is you had the ability to choose different outfits to wear.
Mm-hmm.
And the different outfits give different abilities.
Hmm.
So one of my friends, he used a samurai outfit, which is a more powerful spin attack. So kind of like the great spin attack or whatever.
Okay.
And then I chose the Kukiri outfit, which allowed you to fire three arrows in three different directions or whatever.
Cool.
Nice. So yeah, it was a lot of fun. I'm still not sure if it's going to be more like Four Swords, where there wasn't a lot of like story.
Yeah.
And it's just kind of like kinda focused on the multiplayer, or if it's going to be like the other more like known Zelda games that. But I really actually quite enjoyed Four Swords, and there is an online component. So you can play with other people online.
But I think all three people have to have a copy of the game.
Yes, all three people do have to have a copy of the game.
That kind
of
sucks, but yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think the three of us that played, I think we're all going to buy it pretty much day one.
Yeah.
So that's not going to be a problem.
Well, it looked cool.
But it was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun. And you had the ability to like use different emotes while you do it, and it kind of shows up on the screen or whatever. So we were like spamming the emotes the entire time we were playing.
Nerds.
Yeah, it was kind of cool.
Emote nerds. All right.
Do you guys talk about Cuphead?
We haven't. That was one I was going to bring up last.
Cuphead.
Is there anything else Cuphead. We need to cover now before we talk about Cuphead and wrap up?
I'm trying to think. Did we play anything else?
Yeah.
No. Nothing that we've already haven't already talked about or played. Oh, we played Pollen, but that wasn't really much to talk about.
No.
It's just more of a cool Oculus tech demo.
It was also walking around.
It was literally walk around an environment and see how cool it feels to walk around an environment in an Oculus, which is cool. It's a cool feeling.
I liked it. It was cool. I did like how you could interact with everything. Like, you could pick up a coin from the table and put it in the vending machine and get something out of it. You could pick up the Polaroid camera and take a picture, and it would actually spit out a picture you could pick up and look at.
Like, I really do love the idea of using a VR headset in conjunction with the controller. I think this PAX has shown me that.
I think the coolest thing that I saw you guys do with that is when you wanted to read something crispy, you like actually leaned in.
Yeah, that was a cool thing.
I thought that was because the coolest.
It was all like proximity based. So like I was looking at this little card and I couldn't see it, so I leaned forward and my character put his face closer to it. It was neat.
It was like out of focus as you were in the back.
It was just farther away.
It was just like tiny print. I couldn't read it. So I would in real life where I'm like, what?
That reminds me.
Like I did that. That's neat. I just leaned forward and I could read it better.
Cool.
That was cool. But we still have no idea what the fuck that game's even about or what you do in it. Like, it was literally just walking around like a space station.
No, when I finished the demo, she said, "All right, you've explored all of the environment." And I was like, "Oh, that's all this was."
Okay. Yeah, I don't know.
You're supposed to be solving a mystery about what happened to this crew of the space station who has mysteriously vanished. There was some clothes on the floor that looked like there was a person in them, and then they just vanished.
The ambiguity of the situation and the fact that like they weren't very forthcoming with that is an indicator to me that like.
Especially since it's supposed to come out next year.
Yeah, they don't really know what's going on, especially because when your demo is like, look how good we are utilizing this technology, like, that's fantastic. I'm proud of you, but like...
It was a tech demo.
Feels more like a tech demo than a game.
I didn't want to play a tech demo. I wanted to play a game.
That doesn't matter because Cuphead.
Yes. Talk about Cuphead, please.
Cuphead's cool, man.
Dude, so Cuphead is pretty cool. And it is challenging.
Yeah,
that game is going to be hard as balls.
It's tough, man. Like, oh my god. But... Like the actual animation of it is fucking beautiful. Like, even the background cells. Mm-hmm. Like you'll be... Like, there was one level that was like a dance hall. And there's like all these characters in the background, like, moving around. And it has that, like...
It has 1930s.
It has that, like, cartoon grain. Like, if you went back and watched, like, old Tom and Jerry, or, like, mm-hmm. even old, like, the Steamboat Willie, like, that kind of, like, grainy animation. Mm-hmm. It has that... They followed the fundamentals of animation where everything is really rounded, everything's really pronounced, like, the characters are doing, like, these kind of, like... Like, everything... Yeah. Everything is like straight up, like super. Chuck Jones, like kind of mm-hmm. classic, just really, really like
campy.
Yeah, like exaggerated animations, and it looks fucking beautiful, right down to the little like actions that the characters take. So like we were playing co-op, And when you play co-op, it's two Cupheads. It's the red one who's got the angled straw, and then a blue one who's got a straight straw. Mm-hmm. And, like, I was playing the blue character, and he's standing there, like, just kind of doing his little, like, idle jig. And he, like, reaches up and grabs his straw and, like, puts it in his mouth and, like, takes a drink and, like, lets it go. Like, it was fun.
Which is kind of dark when you think about it.
And we were, like, fighting these evil, like, potatoes and carrots and shit. Like,
And then we beat that, and the guy was like, all right, let's take you to the next level, and he was like, yeah, you can fight the dragon. And the dragon is shooting all these fucking, like
colored balls.
But if you pink things in the environment, you can interact with. They'll kill you if you let them hit you, but if you jump on them and press a button right at the right moment when you're, like, landing on top of it,
basically what happens is, like, his double jump is he flips around, and while he's flipping, he's got, like, this hand sticking out, and if it hits something pink, he'll, like, slap it and pop off of it, and it gives you a little bit of energy. Hmm. But the timing on it is, like,
you have to be
fucking on it. Like, it's tough. And that's the way you revive your co-op partner, too, if they die. If they die, like, their ghost comes out of their body and is, like, floating up towards heaven and has, like, a little halo, and you have to do the double jump off their ghost to
bring
them back. It's funny, because there was
jump on the ghost to make it, like, get back down?
Well, you slap it, and then he, like, turns back in.
Okay.
There were two instances where the person died, and they were going off the screen, and I jumped. I went off the screen, I just tapped a button, and I managed to hit them while they were both off screen, and then we both fell down, and we were both alive again, which was, like, it gets
tricky, too, because if you keep dying, like, he floats up faster and faster. Mm-hmm. And the music in the demo was really, really cool, and I was talking to the dev afterwards, and he was like, yeah, that's all just electronic, or, like digital instruments at the moment, but we're actually going in with, a studio orchestra to record, like, some of these old-timey, like kind of, like, jiggy cartoon songs and everything for the game. So, like, it is really, really charming.
But to speak for the difficulty, because I was talking to the devs earlier, and they said for the demo, the difficulty spikes rapidly, so the first little boss that you fight, the potato and the carrot, they aren't that hard, and then after that the difficulty got really hard in the demo, and it was just really fast.
It'll have more of, like, a gentle
and they were both like, we are going to ease people into it more. We definitely need to ease people into it more. We just couldn't do that for the demo.
Right. And it seems...
Because it's a shame. They have one monitor in the entire Xbox booth to show the game off on.
Yeah.
People were lining up for that earlier. For a while. Like, because when you guys were doing your Ubisoft thing, I sat in line for it, and I waited for a good hour to get through.
Because one kiosk.
And that's an hour with people playing co-op. So,
two at a time, man.
Well, that's coming out soon. So.
Is it?
Yeah. No. Yeah.
It's not?
I
thought it was this year. Is it not this year?
No, they said 2016.
Oh, especially if they're recording, like, orchestra music.
Yeah.
I think a lot of the game, or at least
I'm glad. I don't need another game to play this year. I'll be happy if they never announce another game to come out in 2016.
You're right.
It's funny because I would never buy an Xbox One just to play a DLC, like, download game.
No, but that's coming out on PC.
If I had an Xbox One, this is, like, the first thing I'd buy.
Yeah.
I guess it is coming out on PC, too. Yeah,
because I asked them that. I was like, are you guys Xbox exclusive? And he said, console, yes, but we will be coming out on PC, which is good because,
I mean, that was one of the better games I've played the whole show. Like, that was a lot of fun.
Awesome. And that's the kind of game that I feel like, even though it's challenging, it's not so frustrating that I would, you know, like, sometimes games that are really challenging will just kind of make you rage quit, but especially, like, little indie games, because you're like, well, fuck this, I don't need to finish this.
Well, fuck you guys.
But
it was really cool.
Yeah, I felt like it would be worth it to finish it.
All right, guys. I think that's going to do it. We got Chris and Chris actually had to make a beeline for the airport now. Their flight leaves late tonight, and they need to get on the road. So Ed and I will be there tomorrow, and Emily, so we'll be playing. I doubt we'll do another podcast for PAX, but I'll bring anything up that I play tomorrow on the next regular scheduled podcast. But good PAX, guys.
Woo.
Good PAX. A lot of cool stuff. We got some videos to edit together, and we got this all three of the podcasts up, and got some booth awards. We've made some arrangements with some indie devs. So it's cool. I think it was a really productive PAX. Go team.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Woo! GG. Anyways, thank you guys for listening. 4playernetwork.com. Until the next PAX. Ed, it was great seeing you again.
Yeah.
I'll see you tomorrow, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Great having you on the podcast, buddy.
Woo!
I love you.
I know.
All right. And with that, I'm going to cut it. Goodbye.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.